Our first lesson this evening is from the prophet Jeremiah. Then Jeremiah, the prophet, spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of all the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Alleluia.
Finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you'll find in the back cover of the hymn. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's pray.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If you could turn to Matthew chapter 10 in your pew Bibles, that's page 815. We're going to read our way through the gospel lesson for tonight. Pastor Walter preached a sermon a month or so ago that went, it started off something like this. There's a brand of Christianity on offer where if you are just a good Christian, like everything's going to go peachy for you. You're going to get a raise at work and you're going to win the big football game and your kids are going to be beautiful. And that's just not a brand of Christianity that's in the Bible. That was the point of his sermon. Well, in the gospel reading tonight, Jesus is making the same point. Christianity is not any fun a lot of times. Christianity is hard. Jesus says in our gospel reading, I didn't come to bring peace. I've come to bring not peace but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Jesus comes to bring a sword, to bring conflict, to bring bad feelings. Now, of course, he's the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring peace. But it's not going to look like that, maybe for a long time. This is like you go to your physical therapist because your back is hurting, and they don't say, I'm going to make you feel better. They say, this is going to hurt. And you know that the goal at the end is for you to feel better, but that the process is going to be extremely painful to get there. That's what Jesus means. Or maybe this is a better analogy, because this is the analogy that Jesus uses in John chapter 16. Us waiting for the kingdom to come is like a woman who's giving birth to a baby. And she knows that it's going to be the happiest moment of her life. But to get there, it's going to be the most brutally painful moment of her life. And Jesus says that's what he's come to do. He's come to bring conflict. Here's our mindset that we should have. There's two things that I'd like to say to you tonight. One of them I'm going to get to say, and one of them I'm not. The first thing I want to point out is in the first few verses, Jesus points out, in light of the fact that Christianity brings conflict, what should our mindset be? That's the first thing. The second thing he talks about is, what should our actions be? I'm not going to get that to that tonight. That's in verses 40 to 42. I'm actually going to talk about that along with the Jeremiah reading in adult Bible study tomorrow morning, if you're interested in coming to that. What I want to talk about tonight is, what should our mindset be? In light of the fact that Jesus brings conflict, what should our mindset be? Specifically, who or what is it that you love is what Jesus is concerned with here, okay? Who or what do you love? And Jesus wants to say a couple things. First of all, he wants to say that you need to love me more than you love your family. So what he says in verse 35 to 36, he says, when I come, everybody in your family is going to fight. So, verse 37, look at this with me. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's a crazy thing to say. I mean, you're probably fine with it because it's Jesus and he gets to say whatever he wants. But if I stood in front of you and I said to you guys, look, if you love your parents or your spouse or your kids or your grandkids more than me, you are not worthy of me. You would say, you're trying to start a cult and I don't love you more than I love my family. And that's that. That's what you would say. But Jesus says it, and he means it. He's either a monomaniac. He's either so egotistical he could be clinically described as insane, or he actually thinks that he's the real Messiah and that he has the right to tell you that you're not allowed to love your kids more than you love him. Right? This seems really, really selfish on Jesus' part. You have to love your family more than you have to love me more than you love your family, he says to us. And our first instinct is that's really, really selfish of you. But Jesus is actually trying to do us a favor because he knows something about me and you that we don't know about ourselves. He knows something about our relationships that we don't know about our relationships. And that's this, is that Loving your spouse more than anything in the world will destroy you. Your spouse, you know, pick somebody that you love a lot. Your spouse, or your children, or your best friend, or your mom, your dad. That person cannot carry that weight of your idolatry. Your love for them will never be satisfying to you. You will turn them into an object of worship that will eventually crush you because that person cannot carry that weight. That person cannot possibly satisfy your deepest longings, which manifest themselves in love for that person. And Jesus knows that. He's trying to help you out. You cannot love anybody more than you love me because only I can satisfy those longings. More about that when we get to the end of the sermon. Here's the second thing he wants you to know. He wants you to love him more than you love the cultural system, the values of this world. Here's the way he says it in verse 38. Look at verse 38 with me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Okay, so take up your cross. When I say cross, y'all see that right there, right? That's a beautiful piece of artwork which reflects what we know about Jesus' death on the cross to save us. For us, the cross is in many ways a beautiful thing because it represents our salvation. It represents God redeeming the world back to himself. But you got to remember that the disciples don't know that that's going to happen yet. And when Jesus says to them, you're going to have to take up your cross, you have to think of cross. Think with me for a minute of the cross as an instrument of death, as the culture's tool to make sure that you play ball. It's Caesar's last great card that he gets to pull to insist that you will act the way that he wants you to act. That's what the cross is. It's an electric chair. It's a guillotine. It's a gas chamber. And Jesus says, if you're not willing to go to the gas chamber, if you're not willing to be electrocuted to death, if you're not willing to let your head be cut off, if you're not willing to love me more than the culture which uses this death as its tool, then you're not worthy of me. Pastor Walter mentioned a while back, this is right after Easter, so, you know, Easter Sunday, it's always packed in here, right? I don't know if anybody's noticed, but it's not as packed as it was in here 2 years ago. And what Pastor Walter noted was he still sees the same people that he knows on church Easter Sunday or Saturday night. He still sees you guys. He still sees a bunch of people who are members of the church and our friends, but who don't come to church very much, but they'll show up on Easter. But you know who's not showing up anymore? The people who he doesn't recognize at all. The people who live two blocks away, who aren't members, who don't ever go to church, and might not even be believers, but this sort of cultural consciousness that we should go to a church on Easter Sunday. And that those people aren't showing up anymore. And the question is why? And the answer probably is that you guys just aren't cool anymore. You guys are no longer relevant. You guys are the outsiders. You are the weirdos who believe in the Bible's vision of human sexuality. You are the weirdos who believe that only Jesus can save you. You are to be shunned and abandoned. There's other reasons that people skip church too. We talk to a lot of people who don't come to church because of sports, right? My kids play sports, and you understand, right? God understands. I mean, there's Jesus, but then there's sports. And that's a good reason not to come to church, right? Or there's work. I just have to work. Sports and work, it's all good things. Or family time. You know, I'm so busy during the week, and really Sunday's the only time when we can be together as a family. All these things are great things, but Jesus is insisting you are not to put the culture and the culture's values and even the culture's threats of punishment if you don't obey those values. What if my kid doesn't play sports? He might not get a scholarship. What if I don't spend time with my family? What if I don't go camping with my kids or go to their Little League games and everybody's going to think that I'm a bad dad or a bad mom? What if I don't work hard at work? I'm not going to get a promotion. Everybody's going to think I'm lazy. The culture will punish you if you don't follow the culture's rules. And Jesus says you just can't care about that. You got to be willing to go to the gas chamber for me. Who do you love more? Do you love your family more or me more? Jesus asked. Do you love the culture more or me more? What do you get if you love Jesus more than you love these things? Here's what he says in verse 39. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So that first line there, whoever finds his life will lose it. brings us back to what I had said earlier, and I told us we were going to come back here, about family, about loving your loved ones more than Jesus. Here's what Jesus knows about us, not just that our spouses and our loved ones can't carry the weight of our idolatry, but also this. For human beings, for all human beings, the line between love and lust is razor thin. I look at my wife and I say, you know what, I love her. And I usually say that when she's making me happy. I usually say that when we're having a good time. Sometimes I will say to my wife, man, I love those kids. I usually say that when they've done something that I'm proud of, when they've done something that's attractive to me. So when I think about my love that I have for my friends, that thought is usually combined with the good time that we had together a couple nights ago, or the fact that one of my friends can make me laugh real hard. Here's what I and you typically mean when we say, I love something. We mean the same thing that we mean when we say, I love cheeseburgers. They taste good. They make me happy. For us humans, the line between love and lust is so razor thin, at times it does not even exist. At times it does not even exist. What this means is that it's our human mode to define love in terms of us being happy. I love my wife typically means she makes me happy, or she makes me secure, or she respects and admires me, or whatever. I love my kids means I'm proud of them. I love my job means, when you hear somebody say this, it usually means I'm fulfilled by it. I feel like I'm pretty good at it. I love my friends means they're really intelligent and engaging, and I like hanging out with them. That destroys those things. That destroys those things. Like I talked about earlier, that sort of love for my kids can never be carried by my kids. That sort of love for my kids zaps itself and is gone the instant that they do something that's not inspiring pride in me. What about when my wife doesn't make me happy? What about when your spouse doesn't make you happy? At that point, it's where we begin to say, well, I don't know if I love them anymore. Don't lie to yourself. We all think that thought sometimes. I just don't love that person. What we've done is we've defined love in terms of lust. Whoever finds his life, whoever chases down that magical relationship with their spouse, whoever imagines I've got this wonderfully Disney-like relationship with my kids or my parents, we'll lose it. You'll look, you'll long, it'll be gone. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Loving Jesus has this fantastic byproduct of a love for your spouse, and a love for your kids, and a love for your friends, and a love for your job, and a love for the environment, and a love for your town, and a love for your culture, and a love for music, and a love for fine art, and a love for good food. It flows out of that because those things can't possibly bear the weight of our idolatry, but Jesus can. And when we love Jesus, we're free to love these other things. Not because they give us pleasure, although sometimes they do. And I know that's tempting to go for that because it's so good when our family and our friends and our food and our environment give us pleasure. But if we chase after that, we're going to lose it. But if instead we long for Jesus, we will get those things too, because we will be free to love them like Jesus loves us. Look, Jesus demands that you love him more than you love these other things. And he doesn't just do this because he's selfish. He does this because he's done this for us. Jesus loves you more than he loves his own family. His family stood outside the house and said, where are you at? And his friend said, hey, your mom's out there. You better go out there. Your brothers, they think you're a crazy man. And Jesus says, no, no, no. That's not my family. You guys are my family. When Jesus says that you have to not deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him, it's only because he's just about to do the same thing for you. Amen.